We're continuing in our series in the Word of God this morning, and how useful it is in our prayer life is the topic this morning. And what we've just been doing is using God's Word to corporately pray together. That just happens to be the first point of my message this morning. All right, that as we think about God's Word and prayer, the first point is to understand the place of community. The place of community, first in God's Word in our lives, that we learn best, that we understand God's Word in community. We need community in order to understand it. That comes to us in a variety of ways, through fellowship, through teaching. Dave Barker, when he was here a week ago Saturday, he talked about as we come even with commentaries, there's a community that we have that allows us to understand God's Word, and we learn it best. And I'm going to suggest to you as well this morning that the idea of prayer is best learned in community as well. Daniel Henderson, he's a pastor down in the States and became widely known for a movement called Strategic Renewal. And in that movement, he really began teaching churches how to pray together. And one of his kind of foundational statements is, we learn to pray in community. When he says that, what he's saying is that we learn to hear each other's hearts. We learn the words of prayer. Sometimes we can feel tongue-tied. Sometimes we kind of come to God and say, what do I say? How do I say it? Well, when I'm in community, I can hear other people and their thoughts and their hearts and their attitude. And I can take that home with me to my private place of prayer so that I can then grow. And then I can bring that back to the community as well. Also, when we pray together, I see God revealed. I see God revealed through you as you share your stories and as you have understood who God is. And that as we come through His Word and it builds us up together, that I begin to hear how God is revealed and how He makes Himself known here among us. And so when we come to worship, a lot of what we do is communal in prayer. It's a response of prayer. Praise is a form of prayer. A lot of the songs that we sing are prayers together. That's why we need to be so careful that those songs and hymns that we're singing have a good foundation in God's Word, that we're singing truth, that we're singing what God has taught us about Himself and the world and who we are. And as we listen to God's Word, it is that we are hearing that He has spoken. And I trust, if nothing else in our series so far, that you've been picking that up. That we treasure this book so much because it is God's Word to us. It is Him speaking to us. Dwayne led off his sermon last Sunday with a thought from John Piper. I'll repeat it this week. Piper says, God's Word does not wait for us to give it permission to be God's Word. It is God's Word, with or without us. I mean, we don't come to God's Word and something that I give to it makes it God's Word for me. I don't bring me to this. God brings this to me. It is God's Word, just as it is there and as He has revealed it to us. And I come to it with the expectation that He would speak to me. Dave Barker, in his seminar that he gave us, one of the comments he made was this. He said, every time we crack the book, we're face to face with God. That's an incredible statement. Amazing that every time you open the words of this book, you're going to come face to face with God. He kind of laid down the three big questions. Who is God? Who are we? And who are the world? Are the reasons this book has been given to us. And so as I come to the Word of God, I have an expectation that God is going to speak to me, that He's going to reveal Himself to me, that He'll make Himself known in a way that cannot be known just by the world that is outside there. I mean, there's a sense that God can be known by His creation, by the revelation that is there. We can see His eternal power and His divine nature. But we can't know God particularly until I come to this Word and I see Him revealed. And as I come in through the Gospels and understand that His Son has come with me. And when I come to the Word of God, if I come expecting that this is going to speak to me, then it also makes sense that I should expect to speak back to God with the Word. And that's really the definition of prayer, isn't it? Prayer's definition is really just talking with God. And let me emphasize that, talking with God. Many times our prayers can kind of downgrade to talking to God. Sometimes it's just talking at God. You know, I'm just kind of giving God my list of stuff that my expectations are. I'm kind of giving him my shopping list of wants and desires or something like that. And there's really no expectation. I don't ever pause to wait. Have you ever been in a conversation like that where somebody's talking at you? You can't get a word in edgewise and you kind of drift and you're not really even paying attention after a while because you realize they're not really paying attention to you, right? They're just talking. I wonder if God ever kind of just says, you know, you're really just talking here. You're not paying attention to who I am. And you're in no way trying to listen to me. See, so as I come to the Word of God, and we want to talk about praying through God's Word, as we're in a series on God's Word, God speaking to us, it's very fitting that we just take a week to pause and reflect on what it is to take in His Word and let it shape our conversation with Him. How we answer and how we are going to listen to Him. And so a part of that is that we do it in community. And the problem with a message like this, whenever I start to talk about prayer, prayer is always better caught than taught. It's always better to actually pray. It's actually better to actually practice praying and talking to God and listening to God and having that sense of His drawing us into a place where He knows us and desires to be with us. And so as we've done that, there's a couple of ways I'm going to ask you to respond and to be a part of it here this morning. Because, I mean, that's the pattern of Scripture. It's the pattern of the Psalms. It's the pattern of what the Psalms were written about. They are written prayers so that we can then join in together with them. It was the model that Paul passed on to Timothy as well. 1 Timothy 4, he said to Timothy, he talked to him about just his youth, and he said, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young. But be an example to them. And then he says, and until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. To public Scripture reading. So in other words, Timothy, when you get into circles where the church is gathered, make the Word of God a part of that. Read it out together. Preaching, teach it. You know, we have a great focus on that in our church. We understand the importance of that. And Timothy is called to make that word public as we do it. And I'm encouraging us this morning to have that great intention that when the word is made public, God wants to speak to our hearts. And there is a response that we are to give back to Him. And so as you listen, you should anticipate hearing from God so that then you can respond in quiet prayer or perhaps in communal prayer together. Many other examples in Scripture. One I love is in Acts 4, when John and Peter were arrested, and then after their release, we're told that the church gathers together. And on the release, they all come together. When the church heard about the release and all that had been done, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And when I read that, I think, how did they do that? How did they raise their voices together? You know, how do you put that all together? It says they pray this, Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea, everything in them. Behold our God. Right? There was probably hymns and songs that were going on. And then we're given a very concrete example out of Psalm 2. They went back to Psalm 2 and they said, David, as he wrote that, was giving us an example from his time that applies in our time. They said, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against His anointed one. That's how we pray in community. We take God's word and we read it together. We see it together. We hear it together. And then we appreciate how it gets applied to the situations of our life and the circumstances that surround us. His word speaks to us about where we are and where we live and where we breathe. In Ephesians 5, in fact, Paul, as he's speaking to the church, talks about the fullness of God's Spirit, a familiar passage. He says, don't get drunk with wine, but instead be filled with God's Spirit. And the response to being filled with God's Spirit is this, speaking to one another. speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs or songs of the Spirit in your hearts with the Lord, with thanksgiving to God. It's amazing if you go through Scripture how many times thanksgiving is tied into our communal prayer times. That we need to appreciate and understand God's fullness and His love that endures to all generations. And give thanks for that as a people. It encourages us when we are able to do that together. So that's my first point this morning, is to appreciate the power, the place of community in God's Word and in our prayers together. The second point is simply this, to appreciate the power of God's Word in our prayers. That as God speaks, we hear and we respond and we talk to Him as He reveals Himself, and this revelation shapes us. In each one of our sessions in God's Word in this series, we've had 2 Timothy 3:16, a powerful verse. It says that all Scripture is God-breathed, that God breathes it out, God gives it life. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, that we might be adequately equipped, that we might be filled up and we might be taught. So we come to Scripture expecting it to speak to us. That's the power of God's Word. And there's no doubt that some parts of Scripture lend themselves a little easier to our prayer lives, but we need to appreciate that all Scripture is meant to draw us to God and who He is, or to help us see who we are, or it reflects the creation, it reflects the world that surrounds us. And in that revelation, we have time to respond to it. And some of those Scriptures take study. That's next week's sermon. Next week's sermon, Dwayne's going to take us kind of in a journey about talking what it is to study and meditate on God's Word, that we can soak in it and that we can soak it in as well. Right? That's a part, and that leads us into prayer. Well, we come to Scripture and we say, here's what we need to have. I need God to speak so that I can then respond. In fact, one of the great affirmations of Scripture comes out of 1 John 5, that John, after he finishes that letter to the church, as he talks to them about some tests, really, of their orthodoxy, of what it is to follow Jesus and what a pure confession is and what it means to sort of identify with the believers of the church. In 1 John 5, he says this, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him. See, if we pray according to God's will, He hears us. Well, how do I pray according to His will? That's where His Word opens His will up to me. It's that sense of when I get in tune with who God is, then my prayers become in tune with His character and His will, so then I have the fulfillment of praying in line with who God is. But I need to know Him and His will to accomplish that. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship, to give ourselves to Him, not conforming to the pattern of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. That's God's input. That's God's Word in our lives. And then, when our minds are being transformed, you can test and approve what God's will is. So then you pray according to God's will. Do you see this cycle that takes place? The cycle of spiritual growth that we have in coming before God and using His Scripture in prayer to guide us. I've asked my wife, Diana, if she would join me this morning up here. So she comes with fear and trepidation, but as a faithful wife and support to me. I've asked her to come because in this whole area of praying God's Word, I've just discovered that my wife has an incredible life this way, and I want her to share a bit. Come on, hon. Let me help you, old girl, up here. So that wasn't good. I'm getting old, too.
We're the same age.
Actually, my knees are so sore, I'm not sure I can get up here.
Oh, this is sad, isn't it?
Oh, thank you, Dwayne. I forgot that. Hi, hon.
Hi.
Thanks for joining me. It's nice we get to talk once in a while. We don't do it enough at home. You've heard me. I've been talking about just this whole idea of the power of God's word in learning how to pray. And so you know I'm going to ask you a couple of questions about that. So I want you to just, first of all, just describe how you use the word of God in your prayer life for us.
My habit at this season of my life is morning before I get started in my day. It hasn't always been that way because seasons are different. But and I learned long ago that prayer just on my own just kind of spiraled down into kind of a self-pity and kept praying the same things. So, and I knew obviously that the word is powerful. God speaks through the word. So I was looking for ways to combine God's word and my prayers. And I experimented with different things out there. And but I've tried Bible study. I've tried just reading through the word, like in a year, one of those things. But the way my mind works, big sections don't lead me to devotion or intercession. I need smaller passages, and I need to be able to think on them and dwell on them. So I do read through the scriptures, but I take it in very small portions and let God speak to me through them and then pray.
Okay. So as you figure out those different passages, So how are you, where do you find those passages? What are you doing to accomplish that?
Right now, well, for the last few years, I've been using a book called Face to Face by Kenneth Boa. And it says Praying Scriptures for Intimate Worship. It's a very great book. It's a three-month thing, day by day. And each day, I'm led through worship and confession for renewal, petition, intercession, led through, but by scripture. And so there are guidelines into kind of, or suggestions of what to pray for, but really it's scripture before me, and as God prompts to worship, then I worship. As God prompts me to pray, there might be certain things that come up that I use that verse and I pray for family and myself. Other verses prompt me then to pray for the city, for our church, for my friends. So it's a way of guiding me through scripture with a plan that I don't stay stuck in one. Now, some days I don't even get through a day. God seems to park me on one scripture. And like one day it was just the whole thing, Isaiah's vision of God on the throne and his train filling the temple. And I just seemed to park there. And my whole devotion time was just spent praising God and just have that picture in my mind. And I never really got into the petition and the intercession and stuff. But to have a guideline like this, or something like this, just keeps me moving and keeps me focused on God first, of course, because who He is and what he can do. And that gives hope to my prayers that are coming. But it gets me off myself and at the end of my time back up to God. So I start with God and end with God, and I'm and everyone else is in the middle somewhere.
You probably touched on it a little bit, but what have you learned in kind of this whole approach using God's word to pray like that?
I think my confidence in my prayers being heard when I know that I'm using His word and I'm listening. So it's not, anything can be done rotely. Anyone can pick up this book, read the scriptures, say something that is in line with their prompts, close the book and go on with your day. But you can do that with Bible study. You can do that with reading the Bible in a year. You can do it by rote. How you're wired, though, would lend how you do devotions. And this way appeals to how God wants to speak to me. And it allows me to hear His heart for what's going on in my life or what's going on around. And I think that's why I stick with it, because with all the other very good ways, it's not that I don't do Bible study, but my morning time when it's just me and God, this is the way I connect the best.
Yeah, so in that whole sense of listening to God, coming out of just some different passages, what would you suggest if somebody doesn't have a book, what would they do? What would be a way to get started anyway?
I would say, obviously, the Psalms. And you don't even have to read a whole psalm. Just start with prayer and say, God, would you speak to me through whatever I'm going to read? Also, I think the epistles are a great place also to land in, because God is speaking to the church, but it's just things about life. And so you use those and brings it into your own life and your own church situation. But I always say you need a plan of some sort, a plan that keeps you just from focusing on yourself, because, listen, I've done this, and I've learned, left to my own devices, it will be self-pity, and it will be a downward spiral, and then I'll give up on prayer, because I'm just too depressed. So you need a plan that moves you into your concerns, but you don't park there. And so whatever you do, whether you just decide on Monday, I'll pray for me and something. On Tuesday, I'll pray for this and something. And just to keep yourself moving, and always start with worshiping God and always end with worshiping God, thinking through who He is and what He can do, because that is our hope. And ultimately, it's His will be done, not mine. And you have to end there, because no matter what I've prayed, God is sovereign, and I'm bowing under His will, and that gives me confidence that no matter what, it'll turn out okay.
Thanks, hon.
All right.
I'll let you go. She's actually going back to the nursery. I pulled her out of nursery to help me here this morning. That whole idea of taking Scripture and praying it through is just such an important and foundational one. Kenneth Boa, who was the author of that book, he's written just some excellent books about how to pray through Scripture. And he makes this comment. He says that spiritual growth is impossible apart from the practice of prayer, because communication is that key to relationship. The word speaks, and we need to respond back to it. And so you have those twin responsibilities of taking God's word in and listening, but then also praying it back, taking it back to God and allowing it to wash over your life. And he says this, and I probably confused Alex. Have you got that one? Yeah. He says this, the problem with prayer is heightened by the fact that people often succumb either to the extreme of all form and no freedom, or the opposite extreme of all freedom and no form. The first extreme leads to a rote or impersonal approach to prayer, while the second produces an unbalanced and undisciplined prayer life that can degenerate into a litany of one gimme after another. That idea of form and freedom, I think, is very important in this understanding of using God's word. Diana said it, you have some kind of a plan, just total freedom. If it's totally free, we can often just slide into that thing of, God, this is what I need. This is what's happening. Could you do this and this and this for me? And then I just leave. I've had no kind of form that takes me through a progression of thoughts or a progression of topics with Him. And then the power of God's word can also go missing from that as well. And so you take God's word and you read it and you reflect on it. And as Diana said, there's kind of two sides to this. There is a place for Bible study. There is a place where you take God's word and you work through some passages and you figure out the original intent. Dave Barker, that's the whole thing of hermeneutics. When we're coming to prayer, there's another component to our life where I need to let God's word speak to me, and sometimes those smaller sections. Sometimes it depends, Diana said it too, it depends how you're wired. You need to learn how God speaks to you, how you connect with God. We're not all the same, and God is happy to meet us in the way that He has made us. We are His, and we are His people. And so the power of the word is that it brings God's voice into focus, and it gives the Spirit a means to directly minister to me. Hebrews chapter 4, a great verse on the Word of God, says this, for the Word of God is alive and active. It's living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Doesn't that sound like surgery? And if surgery is taking place in your life, don't you want to talk to the surgeon about it? I mean, if God's word starts penetrating to my life in that way, that it's dividing the very parts of my life apart, then I can pause and go, God, I see myself in this. And oh, God, how will you help me? How will I know you out of this passage? And so you take God's word and let it do its work, and then you respond to him. Passage goes on and says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. A living and alive word of God for us. That's the power of what God has given us here. It's his word breathed out, and as he breathes it out for us, then we can take it. And I allow that then to allow me to speak to God and to hear his voice and to share back with him. So the first point of this morning is just that, to understand the place of community in God's word in our prayers, that we need each other and we should be learning from each other. My second is that there is a power of the word of God for our prayers, that it's from him that we'll understand who he is as he ministers to us and speaks to us. And the third is simply this, that the word is a template, or I say the template of the word for our prayers. This may seem too obvious, but it was something I had to learn. I remember probably about 15 years ago being in a seminar. It was actually with that gentleman, Daniel Henderson, that I mentioned earlier. And just the idea of taking God's word and literally praying it back to God, using the prayers of Scripture to shape my prayers. Of substituting myself, of substituting my name, my friends' names, to just take the prayers as they are there and to give them back to God. And it's easy to pray along with these authors of Scripture. Paul's letters are full of prayers. Some are long, they're expanded. Some are very short. Through the Gospels, you can hear some of the prayers of Jesus. And you can take those prayers, and as he connects with his Father, that we can understand how I can connect with the Father. The Psalms, of course. All kinds of praying going on there. All kinds of people lifting their hearts to God in a variety of situations. And as you read the Psalms, as you go through, you begin to learn, God, that's what I'm experiencing. Father, this is where I see happening in my life, and so I can use those words and give it back to you. And that's why they were written. They were written to be used communally in my life before God. There's so many helps for us. There's so many helps for us that are out there today. Just in passing, an app that I've used that I found, it's called PrayerMate. PrayerMate is an app that you can download. It's on Google, all those kind of things. And what it does is it has a variety of ways that you can download scriptures that give you prayers that you can pray through. And then it also helps you organize kind of your week in prayers. It's just to have a plan. There's a form, but it can also, the danger of it, if you only use the form, if you only get stuck just kind of checking that off that you've done it, then you miss the whole point of waiting for God to speak to you. At some point in your life, you need to pause and listen. You need to pause with the expectation that God will meet you there. Anyway, back to using the words, the template. There's two examples that I'm just going to give you this morning. Ephesians and Colossians are some of my favorite prayer letters. There are just some tremendous prayers that we can have for each other. And I'm just going to read a couple of prayers over you this morning. But as I read this, I just invite you to think about somebody. First out of Ephesians 1. Can you just in your mind, just say, God, who's someone, who's a fellow follower of Jesus that I just need to pray for them in God, your spirit, your growth, just your blessing in their heart and life. And then just pray along with Paul. Pray along. I'll read it. You can pray with Pastor Paul, with the Apostle Paul. All right? But just think of these things. Because Paul, as he starts, he says, ever since I heard about your faith, I have not stopped praying for you. So he has somebody in mind. And so here's how you pray for someone just using this. And this can literally just be his words. He says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Would you like to have somebody praying that for you? That you would know, that you, in your heart, that it would be so enlightened that you would know God's hope, his riches, and his power. Man, that's an incredible prayer to pray over someone. In fact, if you'll just stop and read that prayer over a little bit, there's some incredible doctrine, too, about the work of God's Spirit and his promises for us in our inheritance in him. But you don't even need to go into all that. You can just use those words and pray it over someone. And then he finishes this off. It's neat. There's a closing part to this prayer where he just gets caught up in what that power is. He says, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Man, we could just be praying that over our kids, over our families, over our fellow believers. You can just rest on that. If you just take that up in that little prayer mate section, that's one of the prayer sections I have. And I start inserting my kids in there. I start inserting folks in church and my fellowship. I insert our leadership in there. Right? Just be praying that over. Another one I love to go to is Colossians 4. The end of Colossians 4, Paul is talking to the church and he says, church, here's how you can pray for me. I think if Paul needed to be prayed for this way, we can be praying for anyone who's in ministry, for anyone, especially in the focus of the gospel, how to be praying. Paul says this. He says, well, the encouragement is devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Dwayne used to do this with our staff, and I always loved how he used to just, you be watchful and thankful. First is the watchfulness is watch for how God answers what you're praying, and then give thanks for it. Right? Devote yourself to prayer, watch for how God answers, and be thankful always for it. But here's how we pray. Paul says, pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Paul says, you know, I've given everything for this. But pray for open doors so that I can faithfully proclaim the mystery of Christ. Well, he says, and then pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. I mean, that's a prayer to pray. Pray for the preacher every Sunday. Just pray that it be open doors for the message and that it would be proclaimed clearly. Pray it for those in your groups as you talk about how you're going to share your faith during the week. Right? It's just a prayer you can grab hold of and just begin praying it over people, praying it in ways that God's power can be displayed. This has been a really kind of quick walk through all this morning. I'm going to invite Michael and the team to come on back up this morning. But I want us to practice just one more time, and we have communion now. And during communion, what I'm going to encourage you to do this morning is I'm going to put a passage of Scripture up for us. And as we share communion, I'm going to encourage us just to be praying through this passage, just to kind of practice that power of God in our prayers. And as you read this passage, I'm going to encourage you just to kind of read it over a couple of times, and if there's a phrase or if there's a thought, if there's an attitude, a revelation, if God just says, remind you, this is who I am, or this is who you are, this is how you relate to the world, you just kind of stop there for a moment and just pray it through with God and say, God, what is it you want me to learn about that this morning? How should I respond? It's good during communion that we can do this. For communion at this time when, for the followers of Jesus, those who know him have accepted his gift of eternal life, to come and to share again in the body and the blood of Jesus which was given for them. I say that just so if you're visiting here with us today, to know that you're invited to share communion with us if you're a follower of Jesus. If you wouldn't call yourself that, that you can watch and think through what is taking place here this morning. I also encourage and remind you that this time of communion is closely related to baptism. If you're here this morning and you're a follower of Jesus and accepted him, but have never been baptized, and you're prepared to take communion, then I would encourage you should also be prepared for baptism. to make that public confession of your faith before him. You can talk to me or Dwayne or Derek or one of your other leaders and just encourage you to think these things through. So as we pray this through this morning, let me just kind of introduce it for you. It's a passage that is from Hebrews 4. It follows that passage that I read earlier about God's word being livid, being alive, and being living and active within our hearts. And what's interesting is this is the next verses that follow that, and we're being introduced to our high priest, Jesus Christ. It's interesting to me because what the author has done is said, and here is a word that is for your lives. And then he says, and here's the living word. As John says, the word made flesh come to dwell among us. And he has become our high priest. Our high priest that invites us into relationship. The passage is going to end with a tremendous promise that says we can now enter in confidence before his throne of grace. And that's what I invite you to do this morning. As we reflect on these things, the band's just going to play some music behind. Eventually, they'll probably start to sing, and I would just suggest when they start to sing, you're welcome to start to sing with them, or you're welcome just to continue to reflect. The scriptures will change over the words of the song at that point. When the song starts, you can stand or sit or kneel, however you want to respond to him. So I'm going to invite the elders if they'd come up and prepare the table for us, and I'll lead us in a word of prayer as we get started. Come on up, gentlemen. Just pray it back to him, how it reflects in our lives. Father, we come before you now to take of your supper, to share in a piece of bread, but we know it's more than that. It's representing your body given for us. That you came and took on flesh and you gave that all up for us. Father, it also is that sense of we share in a body now as believers together, and so we are in a fellowship. Help us to consider all these things. We're going to take a cup, and in drinking this cup, we are saying there is blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Help us to think on this and what that means for you as high priest, who also is our sacrifice, and you invite us into your presence. So, Father, guide us, and I pray, Spirit of God, would you open our hearts before you through your word that we can pray and worship here in these minutes ahead of us. Amen.